Let's just continue. Okay, we continue in the Rambam, Hilchas Toin V'Nitin, Perek Vov, Halacha Dalet. Okay, more situations where a person says, I changed my mind, kind of thing. I meant this and not that. And is he a Hochsa Kafran or not? Halacha Dalet. Mona Hilvisicha V'Huli B'Yotcha. The claimant says, I lent you $100 and it's in your hands. So pay me the $100. Amar lo haniton, the defendant says, "Valo praticha, I paid you back. Bifnei ploni and ploni, in front of Shmerel and Beryl. I paid you back." Guess what? The next day, ubo edim, Shmerel and Beryl come. V'amar, and they testify, lo hayadra me'olam. Never happened. Now, at this point in the game, we would have thought that the defendant is a huchsuk kafran. He's a liar. Why? Because he says, I paid back in front of these two guys. And these guys come back, and we ask him, and say, no, he didn't. Looky here. We say, lo huchsa kafran. He's not considered a liar. Why not? So here's going to be a golden rule that's going to go through a number of halachas. So either we're going to enjoy it, or we're going to be struggling for the whole time here. He says, now there's two interpretations, Rashi's interpretation and the Rambam's interpretation. But it's the main idea is the same. She'ein ha'edim zochrim, the witnesses don't remember, ela dover shem edim bo, but for things that they're witnesses for. What does that mean? That's not a clear sentence, but it means they have to be asked to serve as witnesses at the time that they see what's happening. And the Gemara used an expression, something that's not placed on a person to remember, he doesn't make extra efforts to remember it. In other words, when the defendant says, I paid back in front of the witnesses, it could be he casually happened to do it in front of the witnesses. But he didn't go to them and say, guys, pay attention to what's happening now. You see, I'm giving him back the money, and that's what's happening, and we may need you later to remember that. That did not happen. He just says, I paid him back. Imagine, let's say, between Mincha Marv, I go over to Eliezer, and two people are watching, and I gave him the money. Two people are watching me give him the money. Here's your money back. And you guys were watching. So I said, I paid it back in front of these two guys. These two guys, you say, well, you know, if you make a point, say, listen, here's the chayin, guys. I'm paying him back. I want you to be witnesses. Okay, now you've told us to focus. You know, there's things that I've done yesterday. If you tell me I did it, I won't even remember if I did it. But didn't you see I went over to you and I said hello to you? I'll tell you, I don't remember if you said hello to me. Yes, I'm not going to argue, but I just don't remember, right? So that could be the same thing. He says, you know, you guys are here. You see what's going on. I'm giving the money. Yeah, sure, you know. And then the next day, he never did it, right? So that's the thing. If you don't tell the witness, I need you to be the witness, even though they're seeing it, they may not recall things. And that's what they're saying. They're saying, it never happened. What do you mean never? Because they weren't asked to be witnesses. They're not lying. They just, it doesn't, make an imprint on their brain cells.
It doesn't register.
It doesn't register. They say register, right? So that's the way Rambam learns it. Rashi learns the reverse. He says that the defendant won't pay attention to what he says unless he has witnesses watching him that they'd be declared as witnesses. So he may just say things and not necessarily mean them. If there was a designated witness in front of me, then I would remember what happened and I won't even remember. Hey, I thought I paid him. I thought I was going to pay him. But in other words, when the witnesses are designated and you see and they see, then either like Rashi or like Rambam, people are going to remember better. But if there's just witnesses happen to be there, you know, so the guy doesn't pay that much attention. That's the way Rashi learns.
So then they can argue over that. The witnesses say, what are you talking about? You asked us to be witnesses. So they could have
But they don't say that. They didn't say that. They just said it didn't happen. And obviously, he didn't ask them to be the witnesses.
No, but they could argue over whether
over
they
what? What are they going to say?
You asked us to be witnesses.
Okay, and he paid him back then. Then there's nothing to argue. Right, they're saying, he's saying, I paid back in front of these two guys. We bring the guys, he paid. No. Well, what's going on? So you'd think you'd believe witnesses, but no. They said, well, when he said I paid back, well, you're going to ask him, and how did you exactly, did you say I want to be with? No, I never said that. I just saw the guys were there.
But when
they
we have witnesses for, if somebody's going to do a sin, they just take it upon themselves. They're not saying.
And what do they do?
They warn.
Do they just casually
they
watch?
They warn.
When you have to warn a guy and say, here's a chayin, my entire yid, you're about to do a vera doiraisa that comes with a penalty of death. Do you understand what's going on? I don't think they're going to forget that too quickly. They're making it their business to be the witnesses. Here we witness. They weren't designated as witnesses per se. He said, listen, I paid them back. They were right there. They saw it.
They witnessed by
chance.
Bystanders. Yeah, bystanders. But they really did see it. They wouldn't lie. They saw it, but they weren't paying, they weren't registering it.
Were they really witnesses?
They saw it, but they're not registering. A lot of times you see things.
That's what I'm saying. They really be a witness, though.
They couldn't if they don't remember. So
no, they do remember.
He's saying, I paid back on these guys. He did, but he didn't designate.
People see a car accident, they're not designated witnesses, but if they both have a good story.
Okay, but that's because they're coming forth and they obviously remembered. Not everybody who sees things can be a witness either. You see a crime scene, but you have a terrible memory. You can't be a witness. They're going to say, yeah, were you there? I was there. Tell us what happened. It was a big accident, man.
I have a clue.
Okay, who came in the first instance? I don't know. It was a big accident there. I saw the ambulance, everything. But who was at fault? I don't know. I think, because that's the problem with the witness. You can't always have good, credible witnesses to events that happen. Right? So what we're saying is that if you have a case where the guy says, I saw the witnesses were there when I paid him back, and you could ask him. But he didn't designate them. When you ask them, they say, no, it doesn't mean he's a liar. That's all we're saying. As opposed to witnesses who, in other situations where they're designated, let's say, as we'll see, then the guy could be a chosek kafir. All right?
So this only works one way. If the witness has said, I did see you pay him.
Well, then that's amazing. Then he doesn't have to pay.
Then themselves a witness, right?
Then, of course, they remember. They remember. So he's lo chosek kafir because the witnesses don't remember except what they're told to remember. So what does he do now? So how do we play out the case now? What's going to be the halacha? Well, lafika, therefore, lo huchsa kafrim, he's not a liar for this case, not for sure. Maybe he's lying, but the witnesses cannot confirm that he's a liar. Their testimony does not confirm it. V'yishova alova hesis, the borrower, the one who was claimed, he makes a rabbinic oath, v'yipotra, and he does not pay. Kiyosva, similarly, ten limana shel visicha. The guy claims, give me the 100 that I lent you. Va'ata, and and when I lent it to you, I remember where we were. Va'ata marata b'tzadam, so you were on the right side of this pole when I gave you the money. Va'amra hanitan, and the guy, the defendant says, lo amarati b'tzad amud zemim. I never stood next to that pole in my life. Now, is that really a relevant aspect of the issue of the borrowing the money, where they were standing by the pole?
He may not remember.
Right? Is that something that he would really have to remember?
No.
And, he could very well have been at that pole, but he may remember he owed the money, or maybe he asked to borrow the money, but he never paid attention to the pole.
I don't know.
All right, now, the only thing we're going to catch him on now is, Uba ate him, and witnesses it. One thing we know, 2 weeks ago on this day, he was standing by the pole. Shaman. Standing by the pole. Guy said, I was not standing by the pole two weeks ago. He's not considered a liar. Because a person doesn't pay attention to something that's not really relatable to the case.
No.
Now, the witnesses didn't say he borrowed, didn't borrow. They don't know. They're just saying one thing. We saw him standing by that pole on Tuesday for 20 minutes. The guy said, I was never at that pole. So now, what about borrowing? I never borrowed from you either. Okay, so what is it?
You don't have a witness for borrowing, you just have a witness for
that's right. Is he a huchsa kafran? He's not a huchsa kafran. So he makes a shu assessus in his potter. The chenkoka yetzim is anything similar to that.
You can't say, because he didn't remember he wasn't by the pole, he's not going to remember the loan either.
That's right, because the pole is irrelevant. Yeah. An irrelevant point is not one that especially to hang a guy as a liar. Now, if you want to be a witness to a murder scene, you may need to know where it happened. But that's you want to kill someone based on your testimony is one thing. But to make a guy a liar out of that, that's a much different case. All right, let's continue. Halacha, hey. Ten limana shel visicha. Give me the $100 that I owe you. V'harei ha'edim. And here are the witnesses that say you owe the money. So this witness said you owe the money. Now, what does it mean you owe the money? It means you borrowed the money. That's all. You give me the money, you owe me. And here are witnesses that you owe me the money. They'll testify that you borrowed the money. V'amar nitan. And the defendant says, Paraticha bifnei ploni ploni. I paid you back in front of two other witnesses. I paid you back in front of two other witnesses. So Omer Nalova, so we tell the Lova, Haviem Vibaja. So bring us the two other witnesses, and then you're fine. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to swear. You don't have to do nothing. If you can bring these two witnesses, yeah, and they said you paid back, case closed.
The first two witnesses only.
All they said is you borrowed.
Yeah.
That's all we know. We don't know if he didn't pay back, and he's saying even better. Now, what if he would have said I paid back? What would we do? He'd have to make a rabbinic oath. But he says I got two witnesses. So bring the witnesses. Come. But now, wait a minute. But what if Lobo? What if he can't bring the witnesses? Or worse, or Shemesu, or they died. Or Shehol and Shem, they went across the country. So now what do we do? So we might think, well, you can't produce your witnesses, I guess you'll have to pay. No, you just can't produce the witnesses, you just don't have proof that you paid, and you're not out of an oath. But still, you shove a Hesser Shabbat. Now he makes rabbinic oath that he paid, because saying there were witnesses doesn't hurt him if he doesn't bring the witnesses. It just doesn't give him the proof that he wanted to avoid an oath. Because the only reason we asked him to bring the witnesses was to clarify his words, and therefore Uli Potter off Mishua, and to make him not have to make an oath. Why? Because we have a rule, famous rule. Because when you lend money to somebody with witnesses, do you have to pay back with witnesses?
No.
No. Only with a shtar. But you don't have to pay back with witnesses, Kamosha has already explained. It's nice if you can bring witnesses, because then you won't have to swear. But if I can't bring witnesses, I can always come back and swear. Okay. Now another case of just witnesses happening to be there without being designated. Halacha Vav. Amar lo bifnei edim. So now this, the claimant says in front of two witnesses to the guy. The claimant goes to the defendant. And there's two witnesses happen to be there. They weren't designated. They happen to be there. He said, Manali biyatcha, you know, you owe me $100. You going to pay me? And in front of the witnesses, Amar Lohain, yes. But they didn't tell the witnesses to be witnesses. Okay? Lamacha, the next day, he says, okay, you going to pay me? I'm not going to pay you. I'm taking you to court. Tfobadin, he takes him to court. And he brings those witnesses. Okay, what did you say? Listen, I went to him yesterday. I said, you owe me $100. And there were two guys right in front of us. In front of the two guys, he said he owes me the money. Okay? And the witness says, yep. You know, we saw that. Okay, what do you have to say, guy? Didn't you say yes? Omar, he says, of course I said yes. But Mishatis, well, I was mocking him.
Oh,
you think everybody who claims I was joking with him. So, yeah, Omar, in fact, yeah, sure I owe you. You know, every idiot that says you owe, you going to argue with him? You know, he happens to be a rich guy, and he says, you know, you owe me $100. Yeah, sure. I was mocking him, right? Vein l'chabi yoyikum, I don't owe you nothing. So now, let's think about it. The witnesses are saying, you said you owe money. Now, the guy didn't say it never happened. He's just saying, I was pushing you off. And he could very well have been pushing him off. So Potter, he doesn't have to pay based on the testimony of the witnesses of yesterday's admission. Finish Behesus, he makes the rabbinic oath, Shein Birukum, that he doesn't owe him anything, and he's off the hook. Mm-hmm. And it goes even further. Vafilu Amar, and even if he says now, I never said I owe you. Even that, we won't have to pay. Why? Share Lo Amarlam, because he didn't say to them, the claimant, when the witnesses were, he did not say the magic words. Atem Eidai, you are my witnesses. Okay? And they didn't testify either. He didn't tell us to make us two witnesses. And what do we say? Vadavar Shena Duso, Eidus Enomzar. Something that's not a real testimony, a person's not going to remember. Again, the witnesses, they just happen to be there, so they may not remember things exactly the way they were. Ulafika Chimamar, and therefore if he even says, Lohayadrama, it never happened. Even though it did happen, doesn't matter. We can't assume he's a liar, either on both ways. Either we'll assume if there weren't witnesses, he doesn't really pay attention to what he's saying, or the witnesses themselves aren't paying attention to what was going on, according to Rashi or Rambam's shot, respectively. Okay, now we're taking it even a step further. This one's going to really make you upset now. Okay? Mark's going to be upset now. I'm telling you. If not Mark, Shelley. I'm telling you. One of them's going to be upset with this one.
We've got to split them up.
Zion. Not only that, but even this. a sting operation.
Sting.
Elafilu heat milarecha. He tells two guys, listen, I want you guys to stay behind the foliage over here and peek through. I'm going to talk to the guy. I'm not going to tell him you guys are here. This conversation is being recorded by Adam. Okay? He says, just hang around and watch what's happening over here. All right? The Omar Lo. And now he says to the guy, now the defendant does not know this guy's watching him. Important. So he says, Mona Libiot, you owe me $100. Omar Lo, hang. He says, yeah, I owe you $100. Now, then he could be joking with him. He says, yeah, sure, I owe you $100. He said, I want you to know, Ritzoncha Sheida Bacha Ploni Ploni. Do you want so and so and so and so to testify about this? Would you like me to bring some witnesses right now and say that you admit you owe me the money? Can I bring them right now? Amalai says, whoa, no. Because if I'm going to admit it now, Shema Tichwe Medinama, you're going to take me to court tomorrow. Vainly Etain Loch, and I don't got nothing to give you. Umacher Tavo. So that's what happened. All right? So, and then. So, and the witnesses heard all this. Lamacha, next day, Tvovidin, he comes to court, says he owes money. Available, here's the witnesses. They heard the whole thing. Now, we say, okay, friend, what do you have to say, Mr. Defendant?
Uh-oh.
Right? The witnesses testify. We're behind the bushes. The guy said, you owe me money. He says, yeah, sure, I do. He says, can I bring witnesses? No, I don't want to do that because you'll bring me to court tomorrow and make me pay. Witnesses say that. Okay. Now, that's pretty incriminating.
No.
Now, and so what do you say, friend? So listen to this. Bain Shatan, if he says, Mishat Yisibach, I was joking around with you. Bain Shatan, he says, that never happened. Harez and Ishbehes v'nifter. He just makes a rabbinic oath and he's off the hook. Why? She'ain Kan Edis. There's no testimony. Achiyomer alova until the borrower says explicitly, Atem Ada, you are my witnesses. O Yomer Hamalva, and the Malva has to hear that too. O Omer, or the Malva says, Bifne alova, the borrower says before the lender, a claim in front of witnesses, Vishtak alova, and he's silent. Avalveda says that, but with this testimony, Lo Huxakav, he can't be assumed to be a liar because. Number one, if he didn't know anybody was watching, he's not going to be careful what he's saying. A. B, since the witnesses were not specifically designated, even though he told him to be in the corner, but they're still not going to be paying 100% attention because he didn't say, you are my witnesses to this thing. It's just to stand over there and listen.
If he said, you are my witness, only one party heard, it's still not.
That's still, according to Rashi, for sure that wouldn't be helpful. Right? That's got to be, it has to
both
be.
Both parties.
Right. Unless the Lova says, again, until the Lova says, you are my witnesses,
the
Lova, the borrower, says, or the borrower
or the,
says it,
the
lender says, or the borrower, and he's silent and doesn't protest. You didn't have either one over there. The Lova has to know what's going on.
Yeah.
Sting operations do not mean anything in these contexts. All right. Now we have a couple stories to support these interesting stories. My special story, one fellow. She currently had a nickname. His name was Kavrishu. Kavrishu means a fellow who has a lot of obligations. In other words, a guy who borrows a lot and doesn't pay back. Okay? Like he's full of debts. A kav. Kav is a measurement, right? Kav is a measurement of Rishu, of obligations. So he's a guy, he's the guy who borrows from a million people, doesn't pay him back. He owes everybody. So it's not a likely candidate to be a very wealthy guy, eh? Klomar, here's the definition. Sheishlov Chovasar, he's a lot of debts. Anyway, they call him this. Omar, he says like this. This Kavrishu, this guy, indebted guy, he makes the following statement to all to hear. Mi shehu ani chayiv lo eloploni. I'll tell you the truth. There's only one guy I really have to pay. Chaim Yankel, the butcher. That's what he says. So it's a self-admission that Chaim Yankel, the butcher, and there's people who hear it and see it, and they can testify to it. Uboso ploni, and when Chaim Yankel, the butcher, hears it, he says, that's amazing. Utfo, he comes to court, and he says, he admitted it. Vamarhu, and now Kavrishu says, I don't have anything. Vamarhu, come the rabbi said, in that story, Yeshava has says, people are making Yeshua says, you don't have to pay.
Whoa.
Right? Because why is he saying this? He's trying to make himself like, I don't owe that much money to people. You guys think I owe tons of money. Let's say the guy, he's going to the bank. He's going to go, I want a loan. says, Kavar Shu, how can we loan? You have 50 people. I swear only one guy, only Ochaim Yankel. All right? So when Kavar Shu talks that way, you don't assume he's telling the truth. He's just trying to mitigate what it appears to be a guy who can't pay back his debts. But that's all he meant to say. And the opposite. Let's say, on the other hand, they say, this guy's a really wealthy guy. So what happens, and he's going to be dying, and his kids are going to inherit a lot of money, and the kids are going to get bugged like crazy because the father left him a lot of money, and we know all the mishlochim are going to come and knock on the door. Bishas misasa, when he dies, about to die, he makes a confession. If I had money, he's trying to make himself look poor.
If it was
original. You know what, wouldn't I pay to so-and-so if I had the money? So it seems to be saying, I owe this guy money, right? So then he dies. And bo ploni ploni lifovem. So so-and-so and so-and-so comes to get the money. He said he owed me the money. Ain't klum. They don't get anything. Shadam osui laharas asmo she'ain about moment. Because the person is very often make himself look like he doesn't got the money. He doesn't want to leave kids that people think they have a lot of money. And anything from that where it is obvious there's a good reason to assume he's not telling the truth.
What if that works for the IRS?
Back to the capital cases. Didn't we say some witnesses don't actually institute the warning? They actually witness the warning?
Yeah, but somebody has to give the warning.
No, I know that, but I'm saying that the witnesses, were they appointed to witness the warning? We said earlier that, you know, it would have been obvious because they were the ones who came forward. They not only witnessed, but they also...
They don't have to warn. They can witness the warning.
That's what I know.
He's asking.
They witnessed the warning. That's okay, but there's still people who made the warning.
No, I know. But the people who witnessed the warning, did somebody appoint them? That like they had to be appointed
here?
So why could they just come forward and witness the warning in that case? And we said in this case, if I'm just witnessing, I can't be just passively just taking it upon myself. I have to be appointed to be a witness.
But they're not. They're saying, first of all, we're going to say, what did you hear? First of all, we'll ask the guy who made the warning too, no? What about the guy who made the warning?
I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about who appointed the witnesses to witness the warning. Like the guy who's going to the war doesn't even know.
Who appoints the guys to make the warning?
He's self-appointed.
So they self-appointed themselves.
Right, but we're saying that's not good enough in these cases. They have to actually...
It's different because he has to admit in front of the guys. Here's a self-admission here. It's a self-admission. A self-admission. You want the guy to incriminate himself. He only can incriminate himself if he knows his witness is watching him. In a death penalty, no one's self-incriminating themselves. It's a different case. Do we believe a self-incrimination? Well, if I don't know there's anybody watching, I ain't self-incriminating myself. And they're not paying that much attention either.
In one case, the witnesses can actually take of their own volition, of their own initiative. In the other case, they cannot. It has to they have to be approached.
I hear. Maybe murder is something you're going to pay a little more attention to than
that's what we sort of said before.
Than debt. I don't know. I'd have to review that halacha. All right, Ches, let's finish the parak. Now, although we give a lot of potential ways to answer and translate what the guy meant, right, to help the defendant, but we don't do that automatically. That's what the next halacha is going to say. Only if he brings it forward. It's not like the court will volunteer to say, oh, well, did you probably mean that? No, we're not going to offer that. We're going to go by what he said. And if he doesn't explain himself out of it, we're not going to suggest it to help him out. That's what this next halacha is going to say. Even though we've said in the past halacha, all these cases don't work. If he plants the witnesses to hide, we say that's not a testimony. So the guy admits in front of the Edim, Edim overhear him admitting. Or if he says in front of his friend, said yes. We said all those cases, he doesn't have to pay. Because he can explain his way out of it. But all these cases, this is how we started. We started like this. We say, okay, this is the information. We turn to the defendant. Why don't you give him the money? And we assume from the very beginning he should pay. That's the assumption. We don't start assuming, well, maybe he meant this, maybe that. We say, listen, you admitted that the witnesses say that you admitted in front of the witnesses you owe the money. Of course, they weren't appointed. But they say you did this. So now, and you said it was yes, right? So why aren't you paying him? They're gonna say, what? Pay him. So now, what if he says, Omar, if he says, Ain li etzli klum, I haven't got any money. Omar said him, Valo ato amarta, bifne elu kach v'kach. But didn't you say in front of Israel, or didn't you admit in front of them? They're going to say, you should pay. So Imam Avishai says, okay, you know what, fine. So I'll pay. You know, he says, why are you saying now no? Because I don't got the money. You know, okay, but why did you say that? In other words, they're going against him. So guess what? He should pay. And if he pays, that's fine. Mutav, it's good. But if he says, wait a minute. Now he has to introduce it. Fim lo ton, and if he doesn't make the claim, I was just joking, I was just this, ain't ton lo, we don't make the claim. We don't say, oh, maybe were you maybe joking no. around with him? Is that maybe, yeah, I was joking around with him, that's it. No, we don't initiate that understanding. And therefore, we just say, you know, you should pay. We keep saying, you should pay. Why aren't you paying? Pay. And we're trying to get him to pay, because that is based on the testimony, the way it should go. But, I want to remember, what if he pipes up himself and says, I'll tell you why I'm not paying, because I really don't owe him the money. Because Mishata Yisibo, because I was just joking around with him. Although, it never really happened. I never confessed before the witness, and they don't remember what they're talking about. Oh, or he says, you know why you said it? I didn't want people to think I'm wealthy. That's why I said. If he now offers the bona fide excuse that could be squeezed into this, Potter doesn't have to pay Vinish Behesis, it makes a rabbinic oath, Kamosha Barano, as we explained.